Welcome to Brad Kyle's Brad's Motorworks podcast. We'll be talking about some things about BMW, some things of cars in general, and some things about car repair. I hope you find it educational, enlightening, and I hope it increases your understanding of your car. And maybe along the way we'll have some fun too. Thank you for listening, and here we go. Episode number 46, Road Trip Readiness, What to Look For. This is something you could kind of do yourself, although you probably wouldn't be able to do it quite as completely, and you do need a few little pieces of equipment. But I'm kind of just making this one to give you an idea of that if you are doing it yourself, what to look for and what to do, or if you're having a professional do something for you, you want to get the car looked over and for a trip, get ready for a trip, just to let you know what I think a professional should be looking at. So anyway, I would either do or have the following items checked before a road trip. Again, you can either do some of this yourself or have someone do it for you professionally. Kind of first item would be check the battery, check the connections on it. If they're tight and there's no, kind of residue or anything around them, everything appears to be good. If you have a voltmeter, a digital voltmeter, you want to check what's called the standing voltage. It should be anywhere from 12.8 to 13.4 volts normally. This is with everything turned off, no ignition on or headlights or anything like that. And again, not to say that if it's slightly below that, that's a bad thing, but that would be normal battery voltage, what's called standing voltage. If you have proper equipment, there's also what's called a state of charge and also a state of health. Again, that's usually more of a shop piece of equipment. So again, that might be something you may want to have them check for you. Check your tires, both visually, as far as what's the tread look like. And this is going to require you to really to be able to see the whole thing. You're going to need to get down on your hands and knees and really look at the entire, width of the tread. Okay, look at the sidewalls. Obviously, check the tire pressures. In regards to tire pressures, there's a little, if you open the driver's door, typically on what's called the B pillar. So this would be the vertical part of the car that the door closes to. Okay, there's going to be a little sticker or placard there that's going to show tire pressures. Sometimes it will show like with four people in the car, and then it'll show like maximum load, something like that. Unless you're going to have the car like super heavily, loaded down with luggage and four or five people, you don't want to use the maximum load reading as far as tire pressures. You want to just use just the regular reading. Okay. Yes, they certainly can be different front to back. And again, just that is what the manufacturer is saying is the proper pressure for the tire. So you want to make sure your tire pressures are good. Okay. You want to have at least 2/32 or more of actual tread depth. Okay. There are, if you look closely across the tire tread depth, or across the tire, I should say, within the tread itself, there's going to be these little bars that stick out. Okay. In other words, if the tires are brand new, they're a little bit harder to see, but they're basically, if the tread is to where it's level with that part that sticks out, then you need new tires. Essentially, the industry says if it's 2/32 tread depth or less, you need new tires. So again, obviously time to get those is before you go on a trip. And you also want to look at the tread wear pattern. It should be, relatively equal, level. There shouldn't be any high and low spots. As far as being able to actually read that, you kind of have to really know about, how to read the proper tire tread wear patterns. There definitely are some pictures on the internet if you kind of want to go that route. But again, a professional will be able to tell you very quickly by looking at them what it means. So it's kind of up to you whether you want to do research or not. Check all the fluid levels in the engine compartment. If assuming your car is old enough that, yes, it still has an engine oil dipstick, you want to be looking at that. Check coolant level. You want to do that cold. Do not remove a radiator cap if the engine is hot. Not a good idea. Check your brake fluid level, power steering fluid level, windshield washer levels. Any of those are low, You want to quickly look and see, can you see any signs of any visible leaks? And obviously, if you do see anything, those things should be repaired or replaced as needed before you go on your trip. Otherwise, just top the fluid levels up with the proper fluid, whatever's supposed to go in there. Okay. See if the car is due for any kind of recommended, you know, maintenance services. If it's due for preventative maintenance or any kind of service work, obviously you want to have that done before the car is before you're taking it on the trip. Check all your outside lights. You're probably going to need someone, unless you have a brake hold down tool. You're going to need someone to step on your brake pedal for you while you check your brake lights. But check all the outside lights. You know, turn signals, backup lights. Turn the headlights on. Check those. Are your high and low beams working properly? You know, for that matter, you can certainly check all your interior lights as well. And again, if there's anything out, you know, if you're so inclined and capable, it's usually bulbs. Not always the case, but usually a bulb or two. It's up to you. You know, if you want to do them, great. If not, again, that's something you can at least advise the shop when you take it in, that you've already done some of these checks and you know these things are issues, whatever that may be. And like I say, check if it's due for any kind of a scheduled maintenance and, you know, perform as needed. And just walk around the car and do a visual check of the rest of the car. You know, again, the downside to you doing it yourself is that unless you have the ability to put the car up in the air, you're going to be missing anything that's maybe going on underneath. So, you know, again, this is up to you, whether you want to do it yourself or not. But I'm just kind of really doing this one to just give you an idea of what to be looking for. And again, you know, you can do part of it yourself and maybe have a professional do the rest of it. Or again, this is just kind of to let you know what you should be looking for. When the car is up in the air, you want to have the things checked, like the steering, suspension, brakes, belt drive system, maybe pressure check the cooling system. Again, you can, in the engine compartment, you can certainly do a visual check yourself. Again, if you know what to look for, whether it be, you know, cooling system hoses, belts, just anything that doesn't look right in the engine compartment. And again, that might be something that you bring attention to the professional that you have kind of finished this up for you. Again, when the car is up in the air, you want to have the drive line checked, exhaust system for leaks and proper mounting. Is there anything that's starting to rust through? You know, what is the condition of the exhaust system? Finally, what I charge to do this myself, if I'm doing the whole thing, depending upon the car, as far as the year make or year model of the car, it's either going to be $110 or $120. I do take the car on a road test first because I want to hear if there's any, you know, unusual sounds or noises or vibrations or whatever. And then I do, you know, basically what I just mentioned. It's a little bit more thorough than that. But that's, you know, if the car has not been maintained properly or it hasn't been looked at for a while, or frankly, even if it has been, you know, my own personal car, I mean, the car I drive every day, I only have one car. Before I go on a trip, even though I may have done an oil change to it, you know, a month or two before that, I still bring it into the shop and go through and do what I'm talking about, because I'm just like everybody else. I don't want to have a problem on a trip, you know, but that's the most, you know, inconvenient thing to happen, especially for me, because I don't get to claim ignorance, you know, and obviously if I do have a problem on a trip, now I've got to pay someone else potentially to fix it for me. Whereas if I had simply been, you know, looking at the car carefully, beforehand, I could have taken care of stuff myself. So, you know, you do the best you can to alleviate the possibility of something happening. You know, none of us have a crystal ball per se, so I can't foretell the future, but I have replaced parts on cars, on my own car, I should say, that it was working perfectly fine, but I knew from a mileage standpoint it was towards the end of its life. And the particular case I'm thinking of right now is where I was in the process or getting the car ready to go myself and my ex-wife and our two daughters, we were all going to go to Vegas. This is from Southern California. And this was going to be June that we did this, actually. So there was some things in my cooling system, per se, that they were getting, you know, towards the end of their life. So I'm not a gambler, and I didn't want to start gambling the moment I started my car up for us to leave to go, you know, to Las Vegas in June. So beforehand, I replaced about $600 or $700 worth of parts, which that doesn't even include my labor to do it, okay, in the cooling system as a preventative measure. Frankly, if we hadn't been going on the trip, I wouldn't have done it that way. I would have just continued to drive it because, I mean, I have a 4.5 mile commute normally. So even if I were to have a breakdown, if that were to happen, I'm not far from home. That's a different story when you're, you know, in the middle of going to Vegas with three women in the car with me. I just did not want to be on the side of the road and have that kind of a thing happen, you know, in the desert. It's 110 degrees out, not a good scenario. So that got a little bit extreme, but, you know, that way we could start on a trip and I knew, hey, all this stuff's taken care of, you know, I feel better. I'm not driving along, you know, for the next, whatever it was, 4 or 5 days that we were there with, you know, with this anxiety type issue. So, sometimes it is worth to do, work as a preventative measure. So, that's the end on this one. I think, like I say, it was something that came up as a subject to me. I thought, well, I can at least put out there, you know, some different things I'd recommend to look at. And again, you may be, you know, thinking, well, I can't do any of this or I don't want to. So, okay, fine. You know, pay someone to do it. Just let them know ahead of time, hey, we're going on a trip and I want it to be reliable. If this is a new shop for you that you have not gone to before, if you have any records with the car, and frankly, this would be true really in any scenario that if you're going to a new shop, hopefully you've kept, you know, the receipts and the invoices from previous work on your car, go ahead and bring them in, put them in a file folder and bring them in. So that way the shop can look at, you know, from a paperwork standpoint, what's been done to the car before. And if it's been, you know, is it due for it? That way they can tell, is it due for any maintenance items and so on and so forth. It's very helpful. It's just more information for the shop to be able to help them educate you, and so that you can make hopefully a better decision about what you want to have done with the car, whether this is before a trip or not. So hopefully you found this informative and it helps you with your car life experience. Again, as usual, if you want to get a hold of me via email, bkpodcasts5@gmail.com. I'm also on LinkedIn if you want to kind of check me out there. I hope you found this informative, and I appreciate your time in listening. And check out, again, I'm on this podcast. You may have gotten it through either iTunes, Spotify, or Podbean. I think I'm on episode number 36 or 37 at this point. That I've published anyway. I try to stay ahead. So again, this one's obviously number 47. So, or excuse me, 49? Anyway, 46. There we go. Okay. Anyway, appreciate your time. Have a great day and a great tomorrow. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode. It's been an honor and a privilege to spend time with you. I hope you found this of value. Please share it with family and friends. Above all else, with all you're getting, get understanding. May God bless you and keep you, and thank you again.